You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
You mentioned how money doesn't buy you happiness, and we've kind of danced around a definition here, but I want to hear from you. If money doesn't buy happiness, what does?
Contentment. Being content.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to Rochester Business Connections. I am here with Natalie Grace. Natalie, what's up? How are you today?
I'm doing all right. Enjoying a little winter snowstorm.
Yes. So, Natalie, this won't come out tomorrow. So, hopefully by the time this comes out, it'll be melted.
And we have spring.
Yes, spring is coming. But for anyone listening, we are recording this during a snowstorm, which I'm saying in quotations, because I didn't realize it rained this morning. So I guess we'll see. Is the snow coming?
We'll see. We'll see. It is Rochester, so who knows?
When I release this, we can actually verify the date on if the snow came. And if and when a full foot comes, I'll just feel silly for thinking it wasn't coming. But
that groundhog, never right.
True. But goofy weather talk aside, I want to dive deep with you because you are the owner of Graceful Body Works. Wow, you do everything like massage therapy, strength coach, nutrition, mindset, accountability. Like, give us the bird's eye view. What exactly is Graceful Body Works and what exactly do you do?
Sure. So I am the creator and founder of Graceful Body Works, and I am a one-stop wellness shop. You know, basically, I help people create healthy lifestyle, healthy habits, and hold them accountable to it. So my whole premise is if we feel good, then we'll put good out into the world. So that's kind of what I do. I help people feel good.
If we feel good, we'll put good out. That's such a good point, because if I'm not sleeping well, if I'm stressed or anxiety, or I'm not feeling happy about my body image, or not feeling happy about my social circumstance, it all starts with me, and then I become a grumpy bum, right?
Right, and those invites to social events become less and less, and nobody wants you around because you're grumpy.
Exactly. It's a holistic approach. Now, holistic means lots of different things, right? I mean, do you genuinely, are you a jack of everything? A Jill of all trades? Is there any core services you offer or anything specific you specialize in?
Well, specifically massage therapy and strength coaching, specifically. Nutrition kind of ties in with both of them. And it is the foundation of my program, A Handful of Habits, where we essentially create habits based around your lifestyle of nutrition. So, but primarily it's strength and conditioning or massage therapy.
Got it. And what is this program? Handful of Habits, you said?
Yes. These are the five habits that I think that if we focus on, given 80% of the time, that we will feel better, therefore putting good out into the world. So it's, you know, they're umbrella terms, they're umbrella categories, because everything, like you said, holistic means something different to anyone. Health means something different to everyone. So these categories mean something different to everyone. So we come together and create a personalized plan that works with the individual.
I love this. Personalized. It's different for everyone. Let's start with your background and your story, because one thing I've learned over time, I love actionable tips, but I've learned that I can get just as much from a personal story as just a to-do list. So I know your story is not going to be one size fits all, but talk like talk through your personal wellness journey. Like, when did you start getting interested in the industry? How did you find you're so passionate in it? Anything that comes to light in terms of your journey through wellness?
Sure. I think I identify like most women, you know, at an early age, we wanted to look good because that's what the magazine said. Yeah. So I started my fitness journey in a very vain avenue. You know, I wanted to look good, thinking I would get more attention. When it turns out I was doing all the wrong things. You know, I started exercising at probably 13 years old, a lot of elimination diets, starvation, and it didn't work. You know, fast forward a decade, I'm living in New York City, I'm working on Wall Street, I'm following my dreams, I'm going to school, but I'm sick. I had gained a lot of weight, assuming it was stress related, but I'm following my dreams. Why am I still sick? And I started to look into nutrition. Why am I so tired? Why am I happy but still tired? And a lot of it came down to what I was eating. And because I was eating not the best foods in moderation, it made me tired and gain weight, and I couldn't do the things that I wanted to do. So when I started to pay attention to how food made me feel, it changed everything. I was still working as a massage therapist. I was, you know, getting certified as a strength coach, but nutrition was always that piece of what is this? This is something we do every day, several times a day. So what can we do to make it easier and healthy for everyone or the individual?
So what have you found in that vein of nutrition? What have you found has worked best for you? Acknowledging that a diet's not one size fits all, but is there a certain nutrition regimen you follow?
I like to follow an 80-20 rule where if I consider a week, you know, whatever that is, my week start on Monday, so Monday through Sunday, if 80% of those meals are as close to the rainbow and colorful and plant-based, and I'm eating all of those good foods, then I can still have a indulgent meal. I don't like using the term cheat meal. I don't like using any language like that because it is about mindset. We're human. We want to be able to have a cheeseburger and French fries, but also maintain how we feel. So everything in moderation. So eating the rainbow and also indulging.
I love the replacing cheat with indulge. Like, this is my indulge weekend. I'm going to indulge myself tonight, understanding I'm just human, but I'm not cheating on my truth or cheating on my diet long term, right?
Right, exactly. You use that language cheat, and it's internalized as you're doing something wrong. When is feeding yourself ever wrong? When is nourishing your body ever wrong? So it might be a cheeseburger and fries one night. I might want to have a cheesecake. Like, that's okay, because I know that 80% of the other times I'm eating food, it is more balanced. So trying to have your cake and eat it too.
Yes, cake and eat it too. And yeah. I love that, because I like to indulge. I like to live on the edge. I like to live a happy life, but I'll be vulnerable and tell people it has done a number on my body, having too much cake, quite Absolutely. Literally and figuratively.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, for anyone like me that's had a little bit too much cake or has indulged maybe more than 80-20, you can call out a specific diet if you'd like, or just tell us, like, where would I or any listener start? How do I figure out where to start or how to make a change today?
Sure. I think honestly, the first place to start is telling yourself, like making that decision, I'm going to change. You know, that's kind of the beginning of habit forming, is you've made that decision. So any Dr. Google has all the answers. You can Google, you know, the latest, you know, fad diet, but unfortunately they don't work. You know, it's, I don't like the word diet. It has the word die in it, implies that you're ending it. Yeah. I'm really big on languaging. So you know,
I love this. Yeah.
Yeah. You're basically like dying to get off of a diet, essentially. So a lot of times people know what to do. They just don't know how to execute it. We know that we have to eat lean protein, colorful vegetables, you know, replacing, you know, highly processed foods. We know these things, but whether we execute it, that's where the habit forming comes in. So Pinterest has all the recipe options. However, it's spending the time creating those meals and shopping for them.
Yes. Yeah, so start with Dr. Google, start with Dr. Pinterest.
Right.
I like that you say we know. I truly do believe that most of us just do know what's healthy and what's not. And that's where a lot of, for me, shame comes from when I'm not eating healthy because I know better. I want to talk about diet, though. Have we redefined that word yet? Do you have a better way to put this lifestyle aside?
Sure.
Not calling it dieting?
You know, that's always the tough one because I even, you know, in speaking with clients and friends, I still use that language because it's so ingrained. But, you know, lifestyle eating is where I try to navigate because when you think about it, our lifestyle changes seasonally. If it's the summer, we're maybe eating dinner a little bit later, we're having lighter food options. Whereas in the winter, we're looking for that hearty food, you know, something that keeps us warm and full. So lifestyle eating has always been a good term that I like to use because your lifestyle changes. Whereas a diet seems so regimented and hard pressed and fit in this box and all your wishes and dreams come true. But we know that's not the case.
It's usually not the case. It's not that simple.
Right.
Okay. So I have a plan. I've been on Dr. Google. I've been on Pinterest. How do I know that I might need help? Like, how do I know that I might need your service or counseling or mentorship or anything from you? What kind of client are you working with? And how do I know that I'm a good fit?
Sure. A lot of my clients have tried a diet at some point or another, or have restricted calories or done something. And usually they've reached a plateau. They know exactly what to do, but they're not seeing their goals met, whatever that is. You know, if they have a weight loss goal, if they have a weight gain goal, if they're trying to gain strength, then you want to put muscle and you know, put weight on. Right. And usually they're stuck. You know, what else? They have a recipe failure where they're just bored with the same foods that they're cooking. The scale isn't moving in the right direction, or they just don't have time to cook, you know, and they're looking for different options. But a lot of times people are stuck, you know, the scale doesn't move. So now what?
Yeah. And I think we've all felt that way before. I know personally in a business context, when I feel stuck in my spiritual, emotional, physical life, I can't show up the way I'm supposed to at work. Pretty much all my listeners, given that it's Rochester Business Connections, they like two things, right? They like business growth and they like personal growth. One thing I love about entrepreneurs and business people and anyone who's just business driven is the personal growth aspect. So as a business professional listening to this show, what should I be looking for maybe in my personal life or my business life that could be a red flag? And then once I see that red flag, obviously you want to squash it and make a difference. So what do I do to fix it?
Yeah, a lot of times this is a good one because I find myself doing this as an entrepreneur. Sometimes I forget to eat breakfast or lunch, or I miss a meal because I'm busy with clients, I'm answering emails, I wear all the hats in my business, you know, so there's always something to do. And the next thing I know, I'm hangry. Oh my gosh, I want to eat something right now. I'm going to start eating, you know, the paper that I'm writing on. But a lot of times as a business person, recognizing that we're consistently missing meals, we're not drinking enough water, we're binging later at night on, you know, highly palatable foods or a large volume of food, that's sort of where that red flag comes in. You know, you're consuming more caffeine just to stay awake so you can get through the day. These are all red flags that I know that I am guilty of. So that's where I would say, hey, just pay attention to how you feel. I go a lot based on feeling. I don't do a lot of weight measurements. We use a lot of adjectives. How do you feel in your body right now? And that can kind of help make that decision. Okay, maybe I'm having 4 cups of coffee a day and those are coming later in the day because I have another 6 hours of work and I'm tired. So it could be coming from a malnutrition standpoint and you're just not eating enough or drinking enough water.
You gotta eat, you gotta drink, you gotta pay attention to how you feel. Let me ask what could be a dumb question, but I genuinely am curious, and I think a lot of people might be as well. How do I pay attention to how I feel? Like, how do I know how I feel? I just feel, I just am, right? Is there a certain way of checking in? Is there a certain thing I should look for?
It's So this is where that habit forming comes in, where we start paying attention to different situations and how we feel things in our body. A lot of times we might feel anxiety in our belly. We might feel a headache coming on. You know, maybe some people might feel body aches or joint pain. So these are little clues that, you know, could be related to nutrition. You know, if you're not waking up rested, a lot of times you could be dehydrated and your body is looking for some hydration. So finding different ways to feel things in your body. I'll work with clients and, you know, we'll talk about what foods or situations might trigger, you know, an episode of binge eating or indulging. And a lot of times people feel anxious. And I did have somebody say recently that they were in a great mood. They were doing all the right things and they received a promotion, but they felt so amazing that they went and, you know, had more alcoholic beverages and the food that comes with it, and then kind of felt bad afterwards. So paying attention to still feeling euphoria and triggered by food. So the next time you feel that same euphoria, are you triggered by that highly palatable food? Like, are you craving that food? So we internalize it that way, and it gives us that choice. Oh, I can indulge in this, maybe not as much, or I'm not going to indulge at all. So it gives us the power to make that choice once we learn how to interpret those feelings.
Yeah, learn how to interpret it, be empowered to make the right choice. I run into this all the time. Like, I do something really successful and I'm really pumped and really excited and really proud of myself. And then I go do something that actually makes it worse and diminishes the reward. I think we've all done that. Ooh, you got some sounds back there.
That's my dear dog.
Really?
She is food hunting.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I thought that you were moving or something.
Yeah, that my dog is a 60-pound lap dog who makes a lot of noise. So she's hunting for her kibble right now. So we keep her entertained.
I love it. And, you know, this is one thing I love about podcasts, Natalie, is it's just you and I having a conversation. I'm not going to edit out the dog sounds. This is just real. This is raw. And I feel like I could just ask you a million questions and you have an answer for everything. So I'm grateful to be kind of having this free consultation with an audience with you. Where did you learn this stuff? I mean, you've been a business owner almost 10 years now, right?
Yeah. So I originally am from Buffalo, but my education started business education as a massage therapist in New York City. So I was there for a lot of years and I loved it. The idea was to go to school and leave, but 10 years have gone by and I stayed. So I moved to Rochester about 7 years ago, and I officially opened up Graceful Body Works 7 years ago. I started in New York City, but that's where I got my massage therapy training as well as my strength and conditioning training. So it's been a real fun experience, you know, living and working in New York and then coming to Rochester. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, it's fun. We're happy to have you here. I'm trying to remember, did you say you worked on Wall Street as well?
Yes, I did.
Where did that come into the fold? Like,
I know. In a previous life, before I, you know, wanted to care about lifestyle, I worked at basically as a contract administrator in a big financial firm that sold products and software to investment banks. And I worked it in tandem with their legal department, and I helped read legal contracts 40 hours a week and look at different legal jargon and make sure that our clients didn't change the terms. And it put me through school. It was a very boring job, but it was exciting at the same time because, you know, the hustle and bustle of Wall Street, and, you know, I get to wear fancier clothes than my, you know, yoga pants and sweatshirts that I much rather prefer.
So, well, when I think Wall Street, I don't think anyone thinks is easy work. I think it is synonymous with hard work, but it's also glorified when you look at, you know, the dresses and the suits and the nice cars and the money and just images of, you know, lines going up to the moon as everyone gets rich on Wall Street. obviously for a lot of people, especially when you're just looking at a social media image of a beautiful car and someone who looks like they have it made, whether or not they're happy or miserable, they look like they have it made. Well, explain. So you went from a place where in theory, on Wall Street, money-wise at least, you have limitless potential. Why did you personally take that pivot to something that's kind of polar opposite? You went from numbers and extra hours and a kind of consumerism and money and bucks to something more holistic and more spiritual and graceful. It's almost like polar opposites. Like, yeah. Tell me about that transition.
Sure. It's a huge juxtaposition for sure. You know, the hustle and bustle.
That's
compared
the word
to...
I couldn't think of.
Yes. It was a personal choice. I was not happy. You know, that you explained it very well. A lot of people that think that they have, you know, the money and the stocks are doing well and they have the car and their penthouse view. A lot of times they're just not fulfilled. Money does not buy happiness. And I know firsthand, you know, working on Wall Street, you have, you know, these millionaires. But because I was not fulfilled, sure, my bank account was padded, there was something missing. And knowing that I could help influence somebody's health and wellness, that's forever. You know, if we can age gracefully and live longer so that the end of our years are not spent with an oxygen tank or having metabolic disease or something that makes us sick that our grandparents or great-grandparents have, that's where I fit in. That's where I want. If we can be centennials and have more of us, you know, more people living healthier and happier in their 80s and 90s, it's completely different. So it was a personal choice because I wasn't fulfilled pushing paper. You know, reading legal jargon was boring as hell. And I'd go home at night and, you know, there's happy hours all the time on Wall Street and there's nothing fulfilling. So knowing that I can actually help someone's lifestyle or life in general, that's what gets me out of bed and keeps me moving.
Yeah. The lifestyle and allowing them to live longer. It's an old adage. I forget where I heard it, but you either invest in your health now or you're going to have to invest in your health later in life. But either way, you have to make that investment. Just do you want to invest in maybe more expensive products or training or things today, or surgery or lipo or whatever you need to survive later? And one thing I had never thought of until this moment, like as I'm talking, Natalie, is if you invest later in life, the cost is inflated. So being healthy is cheaper now than it's going to be in the future, because in the future, everything's going to cost more. So why not make that investment now when it is on sale versus where it's going to be when we're elderly? I never thought about the inflation part of it.
Like, oh, absolutely.
Health products have never been cheaper because in 20 years, it'll probably be who knows how expensive to stay healthy.
Well, and not only that, so I talk a lot of with wellness budget, how much are you willing to spend, not only monetarily, but time-wise, emotional, physical, all of it. So there's a budget for that. But even if you think about what you pay for in the foods you're purchasing, any gym memberships, any supplements that you buy, like all of those things that go into wellness, right. You know, that's a budget that you're paying for. And if you're not paying for it now, how do you know that you're not paying for other medical services that are needed? You know, there's so many things that happen, not only the cost of inflation for sure in the next 20 years, but if you have metabolic disease, you know, diabetes, high blood pressure, these are medications that you're going to need potentially that augment your budget in a different way.
100%. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned how money doesn't buy you happiness, and we've kind of danced around a definition here, but I want to hear from you. If money doesn't buy happiness, what does?
Contentment. Being content. So I feel like I've heard this so often and so regularly. I'm not the first person to say this. I'm not the only person that knows this, but being happy with what we have is literally the golden ticket. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side. So we think, you know, we think in the having of something that our life will be better, but we really have it pretty good. You know, I wake up every day and coming from a place of gratitude, which is part of, you know, in my program, our self-care umbrella, writing down pieces of gratitude sporadically throughout the day, speaking gratitude, that's where it's at. Being grateful for the little things that we have. You know, I have hot running water. That's freaking awesome. You know, like it seems silly, but being content is where it's at.
I couldn't agree more. I feel grateful every day. It reminds me, this joke didn't age well, but Louis C.K. has a whole bit. Again, Louis C.K. did not age well.
He did age well.
He has a whole bit on how he's on a plane and someone's complaining about the plane not having internet. And he's like, we're flying through the air right now. Like, this is something the Romans and even Greek gods just dreamed of, the ability to fly in a machine across the world. And people are, the fact internet's even possible, let alone on a plane. And when you take that mindset and when you realize this is something I've realized, my opportunity is similar to royalty thousands of years ago. And that's not an argument that things are equal or that there's equity or it's where it needs to be overall. But as a human on earth, the opportunity is great. Like, there's so much to be grateful for, and there's so much opportunity for even more than we have now. And it's a mindset shift. When did you start realizing this? Was it something you read? Was it an experience in life? Like, what brought you on to this kind of knowledge?
Yeah, it was a bad relationship. When you realize what your worth is and somebody doesn't meet you at your worth, you're like, what am I in this for? So it took a long time to get there, you know, realizing, hey, I deserve better. I need more. So knowing that I can still have that, I'm like, oh. So that whole mindset shift was, these are my bare minimums that I need to meet for me to be okay with myself and for me to internalize love and self-love. And if somebody else can't meet me there, then why am I here? So that was my mind shift of, you know, ending a bad relationship that wasn't serving me anymore in my early 20s, where of course I knew everything. I had all the answers. So, you know, being astute and at least realizing that it wasn't for me and I was on to bigger and better things. So it takes a lot. There are people who don't have that shift yet, but we'll find them.
How does the transformation feel now that you can kind of acknowledge that occurred and see it kind of from a different perspective? How do you feel? Like, how is life now that you have that sort of maturity and that transformation?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, it's, you know, it's nice to be me once in a while. You know, I get out of bed every day and I'm like, hey, it's a good day. You know, it's not all the time. You know, I'm still human and I ebb and flow through, you know, positive and negative emotions. But, you know, recognizing that gratitude and what I put out into the world and it comes back, like, nothing makes me happier than hearing, you know, positive reviews from my clients that they get from their physicians, you know, but taking it one step at a time and shifting that mindset it's helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned reviews. I'm all about transformation. We've already talked a little about your personal transformation. We can dive deeper into that if you'd like, or provide a third party story, a testimonial of some kind of a transformation you got to witness. Either way you want to take it, let's hear a story of transformation.
Sure. I like to brag on my clients because, you know, they're the what keeps me going and gets me out of bed. So I have a private Facebook group that I put in my education and tips and tricks and all my fun things. And I had a woman join my group based on a referral. Another person referred her to my group and I shared my program and she was interested. We had a conversation. She decided that she's going to do this 30-day nutrition program with me. And this came out of a need. Her doctor wanted to put her on metabolic medication, blood pressure, cholesterol, potential diabetes medication. And she didn't want that. So she had asked for some time and was researching some options. And through referrals, somebody had referred her to me. And she did this food-based cleanse that I have and has maintained this lifestyle. And in 6 months, her doctor said that she no longer needs medication. Her numbers are fantastic. The doctor doesn't even want to see her for another year, where in the past she would have to have blood work every 6 months for monitoring. So it's a huge testament when you make the commitment that you deserve more and that you have that choice. And a lot of it came down to food choices, lifestyle choices, and the commitment. So I applaud her all the time, and nothing makes me happier when she says, "My doctor loves my numbers. I can't thank you enough." And I said, "I didn't do anything. You did it all." So that's my favorite piece.
How do people get that food guide or learn more about that kind of thing?
Yeah. So you can check out my website, gracefulbodyworks.com. I'm on all social media platforms, Graceful Bodyworks. That is where I'm at.
And tell me about this Facebook group. It's obviously private, but how do I, you know, put in an application and join?
Yeah.
Is it client only, or tell me a little bit about that?
No, it is open to the public. The only reason I make it private is because sometimes there's personal information. Right. I keep it, you know, open door, open book. It's called The Handful of Habits. So you can search Facebook. It's the nutrition program and one of the programs that I have, Handful of Habits. It's a private Facebook group. There's a couple of questions so I can make sure we get all the right people in there, because we want a safe community. We want to keep everybody, you know, happy and safe. So that's my private Facebook group.
Yeah. So Handful of Habits. We will put it in the show notes. I love groups like that because it's private. So everyone's there together to hold each other accountable, to share stories, to share success. I love that kind of thing. When we first met, I remember you talking about accountability and how that's just so important for you and the people you mentor and the people you train and your clients and the whole community as a whole, right? I'm wondering, you know, let's define accountability or at least provide an example. Like, how do you utilize accountability in your practice?
Sure. So I, even as a coach myself, I have a coach. So I need that accountability. I need someone that I can say, this is my plan. This is when I'm executing my plan. This is how I'm executing it, and by the when. So it's essentially creating a SMART goal with a partner or with a group of people. And one of the pieces that I offer is one-on-one accountability as well as group accountability. A lot of times I see a lot of success with a community of accountability, because a lot of times it's nice to know you're not going at it alone. Your experiences are similar. Your feelings are similar. And when you can relate to someone, it's very helpful. But when you put on paper and then voice that plan to someone, and that person, not that there's any reprimanding or there's any, nothing negative will happen if you don't follow the plan, but knowing why you're following that plan allows for that accountability to be in there. So just knowing what you're doing, setting that SMART goal, and then executing it, that's where, you know, accountability is key.
So there is a little bit of work to be done in putting together that goal, having a plan. Wow. So a question's coming up for me, because a previous guest on the podcast, Ethan Bull, he's an executive assistant and a virtual and executive assistant. And one thing that's important to him is training the executives how to properly use their assistants so they can get the most out of them, so they can both be the most effective. And in terms of a virtual assistant or employees, I think it's really important to almost train them or even train each other so you can get the most out of each other. I know one thing I've struggled with, and I'm sure a lot of people do, is I'll have accountability partners, but I feel like sometimes I'm not good at holding them accountable, and they're not good, or even worse, at holding me accountable. How do I train someone to actually hold me accountable? Like, obviously, I can come to someone like you who knows what they're doing and is probably going to yell at me or say something, not yell at me, but, you know, hold me accountable. But how do I train my spouse or friend or relative or client? How do I train them to help them hold me accountable properly. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, it's knowing why you're being held accountable. So by sharing that with your accountability partner, why you're doing this, sometimes when they have that emotional connection and they know that it's helping you in a way that is, you know, augmenting your lifestyle, then that's where the connection comes in. Knowing why someone is doing it. You know, a lot of times with, you know, we'll take, you know, quitting smoking. Somebody wants to stop smoking. It's something a lot of times people try and fail. You know, let's say they've made that decision. You know, today's the day. It's my last one. I'm going to call this friend if I have an urge. That friend has to know why they want to stop smoking. You know, once that person decides why they want whatever that goal is, whatever that habit is, writing down your why, how you're going to execute it, and then sharing that with your accountability partner, that's the piece that's missing. So, you know, just saying that you're going to stop smoking and every time you have a cigarette, you're going to call someone, that doesn't work. You know, not everybody's going to be available at the same time. But when you give that emotional piece of why you're doing it, I always like to say your why should make you cry. You know, you should have an emotional connection. You know, your grandfather died of lung cancer. You know, you have metabolic disease in your family, whatever the case is, you know, that why has to be personal. And when it's personal, your accountability partner makes it personal as well. At least in my experience.
Your why should make you cry.
Yes.
Yeah, because I feel like we're walking in circles a little bit, but I'm okay with that because repetition is massively important. Like, how do I find that why? Like, is being like, I'm at this weight and I want to be at this weight enough? Like, how do I figure out the proper emotional trigger? How do I figure out that why and have certainty and comfort in it?
Sure. That's the personal piece. That's where you don't want to live this way anymore. You don't want to have metabolic disease. If we're speaking specifically of a weight loss, you know, many, many people have a weight loss goal. So especially, you know, seasonally, if you will. So just because you want to fit into a, you know, clothing or you have a wedding coming up or something like that, that's not enough. Right. You need the emotional piece, that health related piece. You have a family history, you have a health scare. A lot of times people come to me because there's a need for it. So we're trying to get that point of why you want to lose weight. And, you know, sure, you have a wedding come up, sure, you want to lose weight, but do you want to maintain that? Do you, you know, then why? You want to live longer and healthier? You know, that would be a better reason. So you're more likely to stick to it when you have that emotional connection.
I'm thinking this through. This is what I'm going to do and tell me if this is a good practice, but I'm probably going to start pretty surface area and I'm going to write down some of these goals. But I want to connect it to positive feelings. So for me, personally, I don't like the I want to avoid pain. It's more, oh my God, I'm going to feel so much better when I wake up and I jump out of bed and
absolutely,
there's nothing under my eyes and I'm smiling just as that I have another shot in another day and I'm just like excited at life. That's where I want to be. And I'll be the first to admit, I'm not like that every single day.
Sure.
Now it's just figuring out what goals can get me there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times you start with the end in mind, you know, where's the end goal? Like, what is your final result? What do you want? And then you backwards plan, you know, where do you go? And then you have like micro goals and then you create habits around those. And then once you realize, oh my gosh, a whole year has gone by and you've completely transformed. I'm a huge fan of 30-day transformations where, you know, if it takes 21, 28 days to create a habit, only pick one at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to have decision fatigue, but starting with the end in mind, like the 12-week year was a really good book where you take 3 months and that's your year, but you take your big goal and then you chunk it down into the four quarters and then micro goals and then mini goals. It's the same exact thing for habit forming. In a year, if you want to, you know, have your weight loss, have your strength goal, you want to make your bed every day, whatever that is, you have your big goal and then you chunk it down and then create habits based around that.
I love this. So it's already resolutions are passed. Everybody already kind of failed those anyways. But
of course,
I don't have to just make a resolution and keep that all year. I can start tomorrow. I could start right now, right? And put together a 90-day plan and have that be my year. And have you done that? And
So,
tell me about like who you were at day zero and who you were at day 90 and just how it felt and anything in between.
Sure. 90-day goals, because you have three mini goals attached to it. Mm. So as a novice power lifter, I don't like saying I'm a power lifter because I don't compete, but I like to lift heavy weights. So we have an exercise program that we follow. And by creating a goal in 3 months, I want to be able to lift this much or close to that. So on day one, I'm not lifting that weight that I will be lifting on day 90. So creating that plan where, okay, I'm going to exercise 3 days a week for this month. Maybe the next month I'm going to try to incorporate a fourth day. Maybe that second month I incorporate, you know, another cardio routine. And then in that third month, I'm more consistent and more routined so that in that 90th day, I've at least gotten close to that goal as I could. So you have the end in mind, but you know, anything where I can lift a little bit extra more weight, that's nice.
Yes. Why powerlifting? What got you started there?
Oh, I think I have a Napoleon complex. I'm under 5 foot tall. I'm a woman and I can lift a lot of weight. Because I can, you know, I used to work at an upscale gym in New York City, mm-hmm. and the gym industry for a lot of years has been dominated by big muscly men. Sure. And, you know, the gym had a bunch of female trainers who would take over the floor on a Wednesday morning. And I would kind of be curious. I was friends with these women and they invited me to come and lift and I was hooked. Say no more. I was hooked. So soon after that, I got my strength coaching. So it was, it's fun. Anytime I can, you know, teach women how to use a barbell, I'm hands down in.
Keep kicking butt, Natalie. I love it.
Yeah, right on.
I love it. How do you feel about going rapid fire? So short, sweet, fill in the blank. Really, it's up to you. The points matter. The answers don't matter.
Is this the Drew Carey? Are we going to do props later?
Ooh, we should do. I've never thought about doing props.
Oh, that was my favorite segment. My favorite.
So I just had a conversation. It wasn't recorded, so it's complete. And it literally was today, so no one's heard it before. But we talked about like eating food or like fun things during a podcast. I don't know if you've seen the podcast Hot Ones.
Yes.
Where they're eating like this ghost pepper chicken wings, which honestly, I don't know how you eat that and have a conversation without passing out.
I think that's the fun. That's where the excitement is.
my idea is to like bring in like childhood stuff, like have like a little juice box or like a sippy cup. So I'm just imagining, and obviously I'm imagining the most ridiculous thing possible, but like a 6'8", like bodybuilder, big masculine dude and his little juice box.
That you can squish with his hand.
I just think that would make for such an interesting prop to have as part of the pop. It doesn't, the conversations are the same. We just have juice boxes and peanut butter and jelly and maybe some Nutter Butter while we have the conversation. Right?
I would prefer a toasted peanut butter and jelly.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, living on the edge a little.
Toasted, and I like it cut diagonal. So we've got two triangles like back the
squares.
In the
lunchroom.
Yeah.
You got it. If you cut it on the or the vertical, it doesn't make sense. Mm. No.
So now that I've already destroyed the rapid fire round, we're going to actually go rapid fire. We'll start with coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Are you a morning person?
Yes.
Do you have a favorite sports team or like an athletic hero of yours?
No.
No?
I don't.
Fair. You're your own hero.
That could be.
Let's do music or podcasts.
Podcasts.
Give me a couple favorites. Anything come to mind?
So I like one that's called Unfuck Your Brain by Kara Lowenthal. Mm-hmm. I listened to another podcast called Abraham Hicks, which is an ethereal entity. And I also listened to, oh goodness, I can't think of the name of it right now. Oh, it's one of the mystery ones. I can't yeah. think of it. But, you know, something do I walk my dog with? Or actually, you know, library books. I love, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, if you will. Audiobooks, that's the word.
Yes. No, I love audiobooks. I'll even go as far to, like, buy the book or at, honestly, over the library, you can ultimately rent a lot of these, but you can rent or buy a book, then rent or buy the audio version. And then I like to read along while it reads to me. And I almost feel like a kid. And I feel like I retain the information better. So for me, that's a really good strategy.
That's smart.
We'll go with two more questions. One healthy, one cheat. And ultimately, the healthy is, what's your favorite thing to eat for breakfast?
Oh, I have a protein shake because I'm lazy in the morning.
Okay. Is there anything like exciting? Is it just the protein powder or do you throw anything in there?
Protein, collagen, some greens and frozen fruit and water. It's pretty boring, but it gets me through and I love it. Plain and simple.
And when you're indulging, I got to get cheat out of my vocabulary. When you're indulging, do you have any favorite guilty pleasures?
Cheeseburgers. Oh, cheeseburgers. They're my favorite. I love them.
Awesome. So to close out, let's do one more tangible tip. There's been a million. One thing that I don't know if people notice, I don't take notes, even though in any other context, I would be taking notes, but it's my job to be present. What I do is I re-listen to the episode and I take notes the second time. So if anyone hasn't taken notes and you enjoyed this conversation, I encourage you to listen again, take notes the second round, because we've already went through a lot of actionable stuff. But do you want to leave us with anything actionable that we can win the rest of our day? Or if it's night, start tomorrow on like just the perfect track?
Sure. One of the biggest things that I suggest and recommend is even if you indulge in a meal or an activity that is not geared towards your ultimate goal, just give yourself some grace. Be okay with it. And know that there is another choice to be made right behind it. So it's not the last meal you'll ever eat. It's not the last choice you'll make. But a lot of times people give themselves guilt and shame. And I try to remove that. Like, be okay in living your life.
Be okay. Give yourself some grace. Natalie Grace, Graceful Body Works. Thank you for coming on the show. Tell us one more time how to keep in touch. Obviously, there's the Facebook group and you've got programs. Well, where should I start?
So I guess the best place to start is following me on social media, Graceful Body Works. You can contact me at gracefulbodyworks.com or check me out on Facebook in my Handful of Habits group.
Natalie, thanks again for coming on the show.
Likewise. Thanks for having me, Ben.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.